Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin this study in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, titled Daniel's Summary of Future Events. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin this study in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, titled Daniel's Summary of Future Events. This is part 1 of 2.
All right, before we get in Bible study, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the good fellowship and the good fun we have. And it's a great time with great people. I do pray you bless Brother John and all those out there who we know from a distance. But we are saved. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And one day we'll be together in heaven. And now we just ask you bless our time as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Current events update. Before we get started in our Bible study. Our fake controlled scripted news, or news media as it's called. I've got to tell you again and again. I'm going to, because I know so many people still watch that nonsense and they think they're getting the news. And if you turn on your news tonight, one of the most important stories in recent human history is taking place, and they're not even talking about it. They're too busy trying to destroy Brett Kavanaugh and get rid of a Supreme Court justice nominee who isn't a raging, lunatic liberal. And this involves Israel with Russia and Syria. How many of you saw this story last week, which wasn't on hardly any of the fake news channels last week either? Syria shot down a Russian plane. Was it 15 people? 15 Russians were killed. How many of you saw that on the news? Okay. One saw it on the news. He saw it on his phone. Now, what is crazy is that Russia tried to blame Israel. Syria shot it down. But it's Israel's fault for basically existing. If it weren't for Israel being there, Syria wouldn't have been shooting at anybody. That's what they said. But now here's the new twist. Russia, in response, sends angry messages at Israel by offering Syrians an upgraded anti-aircraft weaponry. Moscow has announced it will supply advanced S-300 surface-to-air and jamming systems to Syria within the next 2 weeks. Speaking on Monday, Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu claimed the move would cool hotheads in the region. But he also made little disguise of his own anger at last week's downing of a Russian military plane, which was knocked out of the sky with 15 servicemen on board. Now look at that. Knocked out of the sky. Just knocked out of the sky. By Syria. See how they do? That's what your news media does to you. The old saying is, it's not as always what is said, but what is not said. The story goes on, though Moscow now accepts the plane was hit by friendly fire, it blames the deliberate behavior of Israeli F-16 fighter planes who were conducting bombing missions against the Syrian army. So if Israel had not been defending itself, then Syria wouldn't have shot down Russia, therefore it's Israel's fault. So last week it appeared that personal representations by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had been enough to rule out major retaliation from the Kremlin. In the aftermath of the incident, Mr. Netanyahu expressed sadness at the Russian loss of life. In return, Russian President Vladimir Putin said a, quote, tragic chain, end quote, of accidents was to blame. He urged people not to reach quick conclusions. The Israelis sent their top military men to Moscow to discuss improving cooperation. Some Well-placed experts even predicted the tragedy could mark the start of a closer military cooperation. But the high-level representations weren't, it seems, enough to prevent a move that strikes at the heart of Israeli interests. This is a major development, a major escalation of the situation in Syria. And every time you hear, oh, Russia and Israel are getting along better, don't believe it. Gog Magog is what's next between Russia and Israel. And it's going to be war. So we'll get into that. Johnny, did you have something?
I was just going to say, if we were lucky, Syria will catch on and shoot down some more Russian planes.
It's probably what's going to happen, and they'll still blame Israel. So there's my message. Keep calm and stand with Israel. All right. Daniel chapter 12 is where our study begins, in verse 1. And we're going to see that in these first four verses of chapter 12, Daniel's giving a summary of future events. We started with verse 1 last week, but we focused in on Michael. Just to give you a little background and context to what you're studying before we jump in there. There's the best topicals, the topicals that are related to expository study. And so once in a while you'll get one of those as we go through books verse by verse. Chapter 12 closes the book of Daniel. It's the last chapter. And it'll basically be in two parts. Verse 1 starts the first part of chapter 12 with the words, "And at that time..." Then in verse 5, we begin the second part of chapter 12 with the words, "Then I, Daniel, looked." And so we'll cover the first part of the chapter in this study, beginning with those words, "And at that time." And if you would, go ahead and read verse 1 with me. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Now, if you just look there, as we talked about last week, we began by mentioning that verse 45 of chapter 11 ends the chapter, but isn't really the end of the story. We continue from the Antichrist prophecies of chapter 11 right into verse 1, where it confirms that this is all about the time of great tribulation or the 70th week of Daniel. And you notice those words, "and at that time," it says, "shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble." And that's the exact 70th week, the time of trouble. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, according to Jeremiah. It's not the church's trouble. The church isn't there. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. And then, after saying, "such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time," look again, there it is, "and at that time thy people shall be delivered." So it's directing you towards different times taking these things take place during that 70th week. But there are different events that take place at different times. The verse begins, "and at that time shall Michael stand up." And as we saw in our previous study, and we'll see as we continue, this is in reference to the 70th week of Daniel, when Michael shall stand up. Don't you just love how that sounds? How would you like if the Bible, you know, or God just gave you a message and said, "You know, you're going through a lot of trouble, but tomorrow Michael's going to stand up for you." Oh boy, that's just that. If you just meditate on that a little bit, that's quite a statement. And it says he describes Michael as the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. We looked at the things, details about Michael that were given in the Bible. But the emphasis here is that he stands for Israel. If you're opposing Israel, you've got God Almighty and His archangel in your face. going against the Jews and against Israel is suicide.
Amen.
And if you don't believe me, just read history. The Jews, they've been put through it, but they still here. The people who put them through it aren't. I mean, they're still Germans, but the Nazis are basically, especially the official party, gone. And the communists, fallen. Throughout the years, the Roman Catholic Church has persecuted the Jews, and they lost all kinds of territory and power. And now we're only getting it back because they feign support for Israel. Fact is, the Roman Catholic Church still claims to be Israel. Still lays claim to the land and everything. But as we saw in that previous study, we are given more detail in Revelation 12 about Michael's standing for Israel. Revelation 12:7-8 says, "And there was war in heaven." Now, John is telling you what he saw, so it's past tense in what he saw, but this event is future. And that's where people get messed up with the Bible, is because they don't pay close attention to the context and understand what's being said. It says, "And there was war in heaven," but that's John is saying that's what he saw in his vision. But the vision, according to John, is yet future. Yeah. Follow that? "And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels." I love, there's another one. Just "Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." Now that's going to be something. "And prevailed not," who? The dragon and his angels. "Neither was their place found any more in heaven," for who? The dragon and his angels. So we continue in verse 12, says, "And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time." Now that's exactly how it was described by Jesus. When you think of the time of great tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, the time of Jacob's trouble, Jesus describes it. If you want to turn over there, keep your finger in Daniel 12 and turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 21. And this is a power-packed chapter. And it's called the Olivet Discourse, because Jesus took His disciples out to the Mount of Olives and He preached a nice little prophecy sermon. In verse 21, Jesus is describing the tribulation period. You can see from the context. Verse 15 refers to the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So right there, while we're studying the book of Daniel, there's Jesus telling you, He's going to make a comment. This is like the commentary of Jesus on Daniel, according to verse 15. Then verse 21, as He's describing this time, let's read together what that says. Verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Johnny and I are discussing again Wednesday night. I emphasize it over and over. If they ever made a movie that gave a actual, detailed, accurate representation of what's to come in the tribulation period, it would be beyond rated R. It'd be so bad they wouldn't let anyone under the age of 18 or maybe even under the age of 21 view it. And if you don't believe that, you don't believe what you just read. Because if you give an accurate representation of what happened when Titus, the Roman general, came down and destroyed Jerusalem, or when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem back in 586 BC, or Titus was 70 A.D. Or if you gave a real accurate representation of what the Nazis did to the Jews and to a lot of other people during World War II. Those are just three examples that if you gave an unfettered movie or documentary, either one, those would be so horrible. I was at a church service one time and the preacher got up and he was talking about it. He was describing what was going on in those concentration camps. And it was ugly. And there were people get up and walk out. Couldn't stand to hear it. Now, what did Jesus and Daniel just tell us was coming? Such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. That's how bad it's going to be. And that's pretty good commentary when you can get it right out of the mouth of Jesus in the Gospels. But the truth of the matter is, all the Word of God was given by Jesus. But then, and back in verse 1, Daniel chapter 12, continues and says, "And at that time thy people shall be delivered." Now, he doesn't say all of them. And he doesn't say all of them because we see elsewhere that two-thirds are going to be killed. And we'll not rehash this, but if you want to review what we studied, go back to our study of Revelation 12. It's on YouTube, and I believe on Sermon Audio. You can find it on our website, bbfohio.com. But continues and says, "Everyone that shall be found written in the book." That's key. God keeps books. It's funny how people will acknowledge they believe God is omniscient and then turn right around and act like they think God's not going to remember every little thing we said and did. So the question is, when you stand before God, do you want to be at a great white throne and have to answer for everything you said, everything you did? Lord have mercy, no. But you're gonna if you're not saved by the blood. The only way to avoid having to stand there naked and without legal representation, all by yourself, in front of a great white throne that is greater than anything you can imagine, and having to answer for every word and deed, the only way to avoid that is to be under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ died for our sins, shed His blood and paid for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. He conquered sin and death, but only for those who will believe. So we preach that. We urge people, listen, if you're a human being and you've been born into this world and you're conscious of your existence, you must be born again. You cannot be saved without repenting toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20:21, that was Paul's ministry summed up in one verse. And yet today, and numerous times over the past couple of years, I've had conversations with people who think they're an exception. Isn't that amazing? People who even say they'll give a profession of faith in God and in Jesus and the fact He was crucified, buried, and rose again. But that's a head knowledge. That's a confession of what you believe in your head, but have you repented toward God with faith in Jesus Christ and His gospel for salvation? If not, you're not saved. And if you're not saved, there's books. Look back at Daniel chapter 7 we studied previously, obviously, but Daniel 7 verses 9 and 10. This is right before he was given the 70 weeks prophecy, a couple chapters. And this vision says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Verse 10, and we're going to talk about this again. This is the Lord in His glory. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before Him. Thousands ministered unto Him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before Him. The judgment was set. What's the rest say? And the books were opened. The books. I mean, I've had people argue with me over this. How can you argue? It's right there. Black and white. Revelation 20. Turn there real quick. It should be easy to find. Go to the very back of your book. Revelation chapter 20. Verses 11 through 15. I'll start reading as you're turning there. Verse 11 says, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the what? And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Read verse 15 with me. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Imagine that. They're going to look in the book. And if you're not saved, you're standing there, and they're going to look for your name in the book of life, and it's not going to be there. So they're going to turn to the other books, and they're going to find your name, and it's going to list all your deeds and all your thoughts. Now, ain't that something? And what's amazing are the people who are going to be stiff-necked and rebellious and go there to that judgment. Not me, and not by my works of righteousness, which I have done, but according to His mercy, He saved me. And if you're saved here tonight, that's how you're saved. That's the only way to be saved. Verse 2 continues and says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, that's a summary of the judgment. And it's not teaching what's called a general resurrection. It's a summary. There are some who believe this thing. They'll just say they believe in a general resurrection. And that means that there's just going to be the end, and boom, and we're all going to be raised and be judged at one time at the same place. What's crazy about that is it's obvious that that's not the case if you read the rest of the Bible. The rest of the story. We're going to be teaching on this. We're going to have a message on this soon, but there's a little chart you'll see, and it's available online already. And those are the different judgments. The Church of Jesus Christ will be judged after the rapture while this stuff in the 70th week is taking place. We'll be up. We'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and then celebrate the marriage supper, and then we'll all get on our horses and ride. Amen? Now the tribulation saints, they'll have their judgment at the end of the tribulation at the second coming. As will the Gentile nations still alive, still on the earth, as will the 12 tribes of Israel. As strange as that sounds, Jesus taught, and we'll see when we study that, that the 12 apostles will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes. Then the Antichrist and false prophet will also be judged at the end of the tribulation when Jesus returns. And then Satan will be cast into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And at the end of the millennium, Satan, the angels, the demons, and the Nephilim, as they're called, the giants, are judged at the end of the millennium. And then the Christ-rejecting damned are also judged at the end of the millennium. That's what we were just reading about, basically, with the Great White Throne Judgment. So we'll go into more detail about that in a future study. But verse 3, read that again with me in Daniel 12. "And they that be wise shall shine." Let me read it with me. Read it out loud. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the star forever and ever." I lost my voice there for a second. excuse me as I healed myself. Oh, the wonderful healing properties of coffee. But notice the 2 points emphasized here in verse 3. One, wisdom and gospel preaching. If you want to know what God wants you to do with your life, it starts right there. Whatever else God wants you to do with your life, your priorities are to want to learn His wisdom. Not the human wisdom called philosophy, as we have been studying Colossians 2:8, but God's wisdom, and to preach the gospel. And if you think you can't do that, you're silly. I've seen people who are mentally disabled preach the gospel. I've seen people who can barely talk, and they don't do a lot of talking, but they'll hand out gospel tracts. Amen. And I've seen the blind. Amen. I've seen the lame. Yep. And I've seen people who were, you could say, just very, very shy. Backward. What do they call them? Introverts? Yep. I've seen it all. I've seen it so much that I don't believe anybody when they say they can't do it. I don't believe you. I think you're a liar. I think you're just a cop-out. I think you just don't want to. Amen. And I say that with all the love I can muster. I love you. Get busy. Amen. And, you know, one lady started... I mean, this was a little... She's like a little church mouse.
Squeaky when she talks, squeak, squeak, squeak.
And she'd just go to the store. She couldn't hardly even walk up to somebody at the store and ask for, you know, where the grapes were. You know, just one of those type of people. And she was challenged she was in our church and heard me teaching on it. Is Greg Miller, it's the Bible, amen. The Bible tells us, preach the gospel to every creature. And she came up to me in tears. And I said, here's what you got to do. First of all, start by putting gospel tracts in with your bills when you pay your bills. Now, of course, this was before the internet. I'm going back a little ways. But some of us, I don't know about you, but I still pay some of my bills with envelopes. Please stick a little gospel tract in there. And then I said, now, anytime you go to McDonald's or Burger King or Burger Chef or Burger whatever, or Tim Hortons, or Chick-fil-A, or wherever you go, and you pay your bill...